an oral history interview of Bernie Blackwood. Interview is conducted by Alexandra Dobson at the Blackwood home in Oviedo, Florida, on the 19th of March, 2015. Interview topics include Oviedo, Mead Manor, and that's it.
My name is Bernie Blackwood, and my association with Oviedo began in the early 50s. I was a student at Gainesville, and I had a roommate named Bob Ward, who was a native of Oviedo. And I came to Oviedo on occasions on weekend with Bob and got to know a little bit about the area. It was so different from my little hometown in North Florida. I saw orange groves and celery fields instead of tobacco fields. Shade tobacco fields it was up there. But when I finished at Gainesville, I went right to work. I had a job waiting in St. Petersburg. And Bob and I kept in contact over the years. And through Bob, I had met his brother, Ben Ward, Ben Ward Jr. And we'd been in St. Pete 4 or 5 years. I guess it was around 1963 when Ben called me, Ben Ward, Bob's brother, and said he was developing a subdivision. He and a group of investors and business people here in Oviedo were developing a subdivision, and they had started, but they'd run into a few troubles, and he knew I had, through Bob, knew I had a little experience in land planning. So he asked me if I'd come up and take a look at what he had, and I was glad to do it because it gave me a chance to visit Bob. And Ben brought me out. It was a 40-acre site in northeast Oviedo, a beautiful piece of land. And he made it clear to me to begin with they wanted large lots, nice home sites. And the group of investors and business people who put their money up for this project wanted the same thing. They wanted to grow Oviedo, and they knew there was nothing in Oviedo at that time. No lots available, really. I don't think there'd been any residential lots platted in Oviedo since probably the early 1900s. And so I went to work on a plan and came up with something that they agreed with. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, maybe, because they had actually started. They had put the group together, and they had paved a little section of Mead Drive, which is the entrance off of Division Street into Mead Manor at that time. 200 or 300 feet, I'd say, and then it made a right turn in a little cul-de-sac. And they had, they didn't know quite where to go from there because they had three swampy areas, little ponds in the 40 acres. So we developed a plan around those ponds with nice size lots and the streets winding around. And they approved the plan. And I came up one weekend, one Saturday, with an engineer friend of mine from St. Pete. And the streets had been cleared. And we shot grades, went back to St. Pete, and did a cut and fill plan. And presented that to the group. And they went from there and started developing the subdivision. And they paved the streets. They put in paved streets with gutters. And they had a water system in Oviedo at that time, so it was on a water system. And the next thing we knew, I should say that before they started this project, there was no knowledge of FTU locating 5 miles south of Oviedo. I asked Ben later, and he said, no, we didn't know it. And I thought they were crazy at the time for putting this kind of subdivision in Oviedo. It was just a little crossroads farm community. And I didn't know where the people were going to come from. And Ben said, oh, they'll come. He was an eternal optimist. And the next thing I knew, I read in the St. Pete Times where FTU was locating, 5 miles south of Oviedo. So I began to be a little more interested in what was going on. And they began selling the lots. The first lot they sold in here, or maybe the second one, I know it was the first person from the university. It was a man named Phil Goree, and he was one of the administrative people under Milliken, Dr. Milliken. And the subdivision took off rather slowly, but they were selling lots. The lot across the street there was Gomez.
He's a professor out here.
Yeah, what's the first?
Joe
Gomez. He was a controller out at the university. And there were three or four or five, seven, half a dozen at least, different professors that started buying lots out. And some of them are still here, like me. I'm not a professor. And as the lot started selling, the land group, Oviedo Land Group, was the name of the company that Ben Ward put together. And the investors in it, I can recall most of them, I think. There was Frank Wheeler, John Evans, I think Mr. Roy Klontz probably.
Bellerin?
Who?
Bob Pellerin, was he one of them?
No. Not,
okay.
Martin? Yeah,
Bill Martin.
Bill Martin. And John Evans, I may have said him before. But anyway, it was a group of local businessmen, and there were five or six of them. I met with them a couple times and didn't really know them at all. I have since gotten to know them all one time or another. And so they decided to buy another 40 acres just to the north of the first unit. And I did a layout for them, and they have been developed it. And so that made a total of 80 acres here in Oviedo. And I'd be glad to drive you around and show you if you'd like to see some of the developments that Ben did. But during this time, Ben was still planning ahead. And then the next thing, he had a project, another 40 acres. And we worked up a subdivision for him on that, a layout. And it's called Garden Grove. It's right near here. And by that time, Ben, he was originally, he had an insurance business and a real estate brokerage business. And he was getting interested in the building and construction. He said, I've got all these lots. I might as well build some houses. So he said, why don't you come up and join me, and we'll form a corporation and build a few houses. And the idea appealed to me, but leaving my secure place in the St. Pete position I had and so forth, it took a lot of soul searching. And I guess I probably thought about it for two or three years before. And in the meantime, Ben and I were still working together on the projects up here. And I finally made the decision, I got to do it. I want to do it. I'd always been interested in construction and had some experience in that. And my family wasn't too eager about it at first. The kids, I had a son that was in the third grade and would be going to the fourth grade, and a daughter in the sixth grade, I believe. But they finally came around, and we moved up here the second day of September, 1972, went to work the very next day, and the kids started school the very next day after we got here, I think. And my family adjusted. They just loved Oviedo. And she was a city girl. Sue was from Jacksonville. And she didn't think she wanted to moved to Oviedo from St. Petersburg. We all loved St. Petersburg. I did too. But we found Oviedo to be the people here were the most gracious welcoming. We never felt like a stranger. And part of that maybe was because I came here with Ben Ward, who his dad was a celery grower and had groves here in town. And Ben had some land, and quite a bit of land in around Oviedo. And so we went from there. We started building houses, and Ben and I were together for 4 years, I think. And his interest was on development, land development. And mine was more in construction. And I didn't have the deep pockets to go into land development. But Ben, he had a vision for this little town. He wanted to, nothing but quality development. And he was the only one developing land in Oviedo. And he was always, I thought, a little ahead of the market, and it was it cost him financially, but he did it. And after we split, we remained friends and met on a weekly basis, and compare what each of us was doing, until he passed away. And I think he passed away in 99. And I feel he never deserved the credit he deserved for what he did for this little town. Because you can look around, he's responsible for Mead Manor, Garden Grove, Whispering Oaks, mm-hmm. Hillcrest Farms, I think was the name of it.
Windmeadow Farms.
Those are residential developments.
How about Oviedo Oaks?
No, he didn't. He didn't develop that.
Didn't.
And he also started. He did some a couple of commercial projects. One of them was Westwood Square. It was a commercial industrial zoning area. And it's completely built out now. Do you know where Toucan was? No, what's the Spanish?
Habaneros.
You know where that is? That was part of Westwood Square. All of those back in there was developed. And there was nothing out there at the time. Nothing. And nothing between there and Oviedo.
And one little gas station.
Yeah. The Tiger Station, yeah. Called. And then there's another, I believe this is called Oviedo Office Park, two-year, on 426 between Westwood Square and city limits, what was the city limits then, or the high school, say. And it's a very nice commercial development. They have doctor's offices and that type of development. And like I say, we came here. We've been here for 43 years now, and I could never move Sue from get her out of this house or out of this city. She loves it, and my kids love it. My daughter lives in Tallahassee, and she's down here quite often. My son works with me, or did work with me. He runs a business now. I'm retired. I go in and aggravate him every day a little bit. I don't know. Do you have any questions from there? I'd be glad to drive you around a little, Oviedo, and show you some of these projects if you have the time and the inclination.
Sure. Thank you. Take her to Whispering Oaks, because that's
really, well, they're all nice.
Really pretty, yes. Whispering Oaks has beautiful trees, but...
Have I missed anything, Sue?
I don't think so. I think I was amazed at how well you covered everything.
You know, that's about it with my interest in Oviedo. It was primarily building. I've built all of these years. And
do you know what the population was when we moved here?
I should have gone into that. It was about 2,000. And it was about the same when I visited 10 years earlier. It hadn't grown a bit. I don't think it grew a bit from... I should have included this in it from the 30s and on up to the 60s. And this development right here was what started the growth in Oviedo. I guess it was the 80s before any track builders started coming into Oviedo. Jacob's brothers owned 2,000 acres of land where Alafaya Woods is now, in that area over there, Twin Rivers, in that area. They sold it to a group in Atlanta in the early 70s, and the bottom pretty well fell out of construction for a while there, and nothing, I don't know if that company went bankrupt or what, but they sold it to the Andon Group, and the Andon Group is a group that developed Alafaya Woods. And it was a little bit, it was a different type developed than what Ben had been developing. And I think he'd be surprised today if he knew how he felt that Oviedo never had be a, anything but small rural community with good home sites. Of course, he knew, and I knew too, that when the university located there, sooner or later it was going to affect Oviedo in a big way. And it did. But
Is Tom Phillips next door still teaching?
Yeah, he's a professor over there. No, he's not teaching.
He's retired. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably.
We were surrounded by him.
Yeah, when we first moved here, of course, this was young. All the professors had kids, and we had kids. And it's changed a couple times since then. You've got older families have moved out, newer families with kids have moved in, and we've stuck here all those years. But we've seen the growth in Oviedo from 2,000 to what, 35,000 now probably.
Do you think it was just the university that did that, or
pretty much?
Pretty much, I think. The research park out there. And, of course, Oviedo, it grew to be it had a very good school system. I should have mentioned that. When we moved here, my son was going into the fourth grade. And he went to a school right across from where we live, practically, in St. Pete. He could walk to school. And they had gotten into the new, let the kid reach his potential, don't push him. And I went and talked with the teacher about it, and, Scott's doing fine. It didn't seem to me he was doing fine. And she said, no, he's fine. Well, when we got here, he had teachers like Miss Parton.
Parton Elementary was named after her, and she was a wonderful
And Miss Gore, and same teachers that taught Ben Ward and Bob Ward and that group, they were still there. And she went to work on Scott and brought him up to speed. He didn't even know his multiplication tables.
And
and all the kids here did, but she put him to work on them, and he learned them real quick and caught up and did all right. But it was just a great place to raise your kids. And I just can't say enough about the town and about the guy that really got it going, Ben Ward.
I think so, too.
You get a chance to give him a plug. He's long gone. His wife still lives here in Mead Manor. And his kids, he has one kid that lives in Tuscaloosa, and the rest of them are scattered around.
Tuscaloosa was not here at all.
Well, it was, too. It was one road, Dyson Road, coming off of Tuscaloosa Road, Dyson, and they had...
Dyson, yeah.
They just started developing a few lots there. But that's a beautiful subdivision. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite subdivisions in the area is Tuscaloosa.
What kind of things has Blackwood Construction done?
We did primarily single family and small commercial. We did dental office from Bob Pellerin over in Winter Springs and that sort of thing. But we built over 500. We've got
563.
Well, some of them weren't. Some of them in the recent years have just been small jobs.
And Lutheran Haven. Mansion Lutheran Haven.
Yeah, we did. We built most of Lutheran Haven. projects out of the
you
duplexes.
You probably passed Lutheran Haven on the way in.
Could be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm really not that familiar.
Big Lutheran church, and they it has a retirement for lots of the duplexes.
Okay.
It's and a nursing home now. If you got time, I'll drive you all over. Show you a little bit of Oviedo.
Okay,
you'll want to live here.
Yeah. I actually moved to Orlando from St. Pete for the same reason.
Oh my goodness!
Oh really?
To get my son in a better school.
Oh
really?
Yeah,
well, you know, we thought the schools there were just great till we moved here.
Yeah, well, I didn't think they were great because I didn't think our boy was learning anything.
Well.
And another thing. We got caught up right in the civil rights. We, you know where Bay Vista Elementary is? Mm-hmm. We lived within a block of Bay Vista at that time. And the kids walked to school, and it was a fairly new school then. And I think Linda was, she was in the fifth grade when all the civil rights, they started busing kids. And she got bused to the school right in the middle of St. Black School in the middle of St. Pete.
I don't remember what the school was, the name of the school.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was only for that 1 year, and she got along fine.
Yeah,
she
did.
Didn't have any
she
problems.
Made
but
some good
it just
friends,
didn't make sense to take kids that could walk to school and pay a bus to drive them somewhere else.
It was probably a good experience.
Well, how long did you live in St. Pete?
5 or 6 years.
You weren't born there then.
When?
I was recent. I've been in Orlando for 3 years.
3 years. Oh, well, you've seen the downtown area really change.
Yes, it has.
I graduated on Saturday night, and we packed up everything we had. I met Sue at Florida, her senior year.
Just in time.
We packed up everything. We got married my last semester there. We got married, and she graduated a semester before I did. She's smarter than I am. And we moved to St. Pete on Sunday, and I started to work Monday. I've worked as a city planner for 14 years before I came here.
Wow, what kind of things did you do?
What kind of work?
Yeah.
Well, if you're familiar with the park system in Oviedo, just to give you an example, in St. Pete, Southside Park, you know, the 40-acre park down Lakewood Elementary, mm-hmm. and all of that. That was a plan that we came up with. We developed a 5-year plan. We had a great city manager named Lynn Andrews from about the time I went there until he left in 69. And he had a capital improvement program, a 5-year capital improvement program. And every year they would budget certain projects. And at the end of the year, you'd see if the money was spent right on those projects. He projected the 5 years another year. But he adjusted every year during that 5 years, and he built had the Bayfront Center was built, the museum downtown, the waterfront, the city park, or the waterfront, Northeast Park there was all developed when he was there. The pier, inverted pier, was built, and I was all part of all that, and it was interesting and fun until he left, and we got another manager, and I just did not enjoy working anymore.
Oh,
that's how
so
I had to come here.
It was a good time to come here.
What was civil rights like in St. Pete? What was your experience with it?
Well, my main experience, it was no problem. 16th Street was kind of they had their riots and things during the time.
They still do.
And my main memory of it, and this is why Lynn Andrews left St. Petersburg, I'm sure. In 68 or 69, when they allowed public employees to be unionized, the garbage department came unionized, and they went on strike 1 year, and Mr. Andrews negotiated with them and got them back. Not a big break in service. The very next year, they went on strike again. And he, on Monday morning, they didn't show up for work. The whole garbage department didn't show up for work. And he gave them an ultimatum. He said, anyone that's not back on the job by Thursday of this week will be permanently terminated, all benefits and everything. Well, the union didn't believe my guess, because a big percent, some did come back. Within a week, he had completely restaffed that from people from Georgia, different people looking for jobs. He completely restaffed the garbage department. And a lot of employees lost their jobs. And from that point on, the St. Pete Times took up the position of the strikers. They marched on City Hall every day. And he didn't yield. It's kind of like Ronald Reagan and the air controller strike. You're probably too young to even remember that. But he did the same thing. And from that day on, anything that Lynn Andrews did, and I was privy to what was going on there, he would be lambasted in the St. Pete Times for it. And after about a year of that, he went back to Texas. He came to St. Pete from San Antonio, Texas, as city manager, and he went back as city manager of Austin, Texas. When he came to St. Pete, he brought his finance director, his assistant city manager, and the budget director. That group came. When he left, they all went with him except one, and he left the city and went to work for First Federal.
Wow, that's impressive. Keeping your staff with you.
Yeah. And they were good men, weren't they?
Good men, all of them. Yeah. Smart men. I often said if he'd run for president, I'd have let him. He was firm, but he was fair. But, we love St. Pete. We go back every now and then when we get a chance. And most
not
of my
many
old,
people we know there.
Yeah, most of my old buddies are gone. Yeah.
It's so a lovely place to visit.
Yeah, and the downtown is so, for the waterfront, is so nice, you know.
You know, I went down for a job interview, and Sue went with me. Yeah, it was before we were married. I got a summer job there. And we drove into St. Pete from, came down 34th Street, turned left on Central, and got downtown. And this was in April. We saw nothing but green benches and gray heads. And that's quite a shock coming from Gainesville.
From Gainesville,
you know, where everybody's young.
To everybody old. But it was a good place to live.
It had something for everybody then, but the majority, I think 25% of the population then was 65 or older. It had I knew at the time. The population was 180,000 when we moved there, and I think it was about 225 when we left. I don't know what it is now, but it pretty well built out. There wasn't much developable land in St. Pete other than up and around Wheaton's Island area.
What part of St. Pete did you live in?
I lived on 1st Avenue North and 25th Street. So
25th Street.
Almost downtown.
We lived almost downtown when we first moved there.
We had a little garage apartment.
By Mount Park Hospital.
No, our garage apartment was up on the north side.
Oh, they have
26th Avenue North. And then we bought an old 50-year-old apartment building down on 11th Avenue South. And I could walk to work from there to City Hall. And we moved in, fixed up one unit and moved in it, and then as a tenant left, we remodeled that unit and fixed it up, made a nice place.
Was your son born there?
He was born in Clearwater. I lived in Clearwater, Largo, Dunedin.
You ever heard of Fred Marquis?
I don't think so.
He was county manager there in Pinellas County for 25 years, I guess. I think he set a record for it. But he was a planner in St. Pete with me. He came there right out of graduate school and worked there, and we became good friends. But I hadn't been in touch with him for years. He's since retired.